for joining us. Well, days are getting warmer. We may not have a good example of it today, but the summer months bring spring flowers, it brings blooms, it brings ice cream stops, it's lazy days out on the beach, but it also means more creepy crawlies come out of the winter slumber, the winter lack of activity, such as snakes, cockroaches, geckos, spiders, all sorts of kohakis come out. So that there has been a warning by the Poison Information Helpline of the Western Cape, urging people to watch their step, especially as they spend more time in outdoor activities. This is the time of the year where they see an increase in snake bites. Dr. Corinne Marks is the director of the Tygerberg Poison Information Center, joins me now on the line. Corinne, thanks so much for coming on to the show. Have you already seen an uptick in the calls concerning snake bites?
Hi, good morning, Lester, everyone. Yes, indeed, if you compare the last 2 months, phone calls concerning snake bites has more than doubled. However, this is only the beginning of the snake season. It normally escalates between November and March.
If one does get bitten by a snake, what's the general correct procedure to follow? Of course, seek medical attention. Look, many of us wouldn't know the difference between a venomous or non-venomous snake. Many of us wouldn't be able to correctly identify a snake unless it's a cobra, because of the shape of its head, and that's what we sort of got to learn in school. But what would be the first steps when encountering a snake bite?
The very first thing would be to go to a medical facility. We normally advise people when they go hiking to make sure that they have the closest medical facility's number on their cell phone. And it's always advisable to phone the hospital saying that a snake bite victim is on their way. And if they can, without putting themselves in danger, is to take a photo of the snake for later identification.
Look, yeah, in studio, we do have Davine Sanson. She's a snake wrangler, snake rescuer. We're going to be speaking to her in a short while. We also have a very, very special guest in the studio sitting about a meter away in a box, in a plastic box about a meter away from me, non-venomous. Davine informs me, so I trust on that. So we'll be chatting to Davine in a short while. But what are some of the common myths that you've heard around snake behavior and people reporting with snake bites? In discussing this show, one of our team says, mustn't you then catch the snake so that you can take it with you to the hospital to extract some of its venom so that you then get cured? There are lots of myths around snake bites.
Absolutely. Oh, there's so many. I mean, like squeeze or cut the wound or even try and suck at the venom, that's contraindicated. There's some local remedies like potassium permanganate. We know that that's Condy's crystals, electric shock treatment. Or we also tell them not to use a tourniquet, and there's many more.
Gosh. Remind us about the 24-hour poison information helpline. What are you there to, what service are you there to provide? It's more than just snake bites. Is it also other spinacopa and other creepy crawlies?
Yes. We do spider, insect bites, marine poisoning and envenomation. And just a reminder, the Poison Information Helpline for the Western Cape is a 24-hour service provided jointly by the Tygerberg Poison Information Centre and the Red Cross Poison Centre.
Is snake bites something that you respond to primarily, or is it other hojas, spiders, scorpions that actually provide the bulk of your call-outs or what you respond to?
No, biological toxins, that's snakes, spiders, marine, scorpions, that's only about 10% of all our calls. Most of our calls concern pharmaceutical poisonings. You know, children accidentally eating some tablets or pills or someone trying to commit suicide. Mm.
So what should people be on the lookout for this time of the year, and what are the numbers people need to know, Corinne?
Yes, again, try and go to a hospital as soon as possible when bitten by a snake, and then get your doctor to phone out, and we will advise him whether antivenom is necessary or not. Mm. And our number is 0861-555-777.
Mm. When we talk about antivenom stocks in the country, are we always well prepared, particularly this time of the year?
You know, it depends from hospital to hospital. It's important to know that the poison center does not stock antivenom. We recently did a survey with public hospitals in the Western Cape, and there appeared to be no problem with stock. Mm. However, some hospitals had less than 5 vials, and that's not enough. But this could be that it was not snake season yet, mm. and due to shorter shelf life, they will place their order in season.
The Poisons Information Center, as you say, deals more than just with biological toxins and of animals and bites, but also, as you say, the most of your calls come from poisons and chemicals. Is this time of year, do you see more calls with regarding, you know, carelessness, you know, kids drinking toxins, drinking chemicals, paraffin and things like that?
Yes, we definitely see more in the holiday and during the lockdown period. We had a huge increase in hand sanitizer ingestion.
Oh, wow.
And things like camphor oil and eucalyptus oil.
So what happens when a kid has ingested some hand sanitizer? What should be the first thing that parents should be doing then?
Look, if it's only a little lick, sometimes they just lick the bottle or their hand. They should be fine. But as little as 5 mL, because it contains ethanol, up to 70% ethanol, as little as 5 mL can cause hypoglycemia and central nervous system depression. Mm. So we advise them to take them to the doctor and then to phone us.
Mm. There's a question on our WhatsApp line, Karina Doss. I've heard of snakes giving dry bites. Should you seek help if it is a dry bite? And then how do you differentiate between a dry bite and a real bite?
You're never going to know if it's a dry bite or not. We often have snake handlers who can tell us they've handled a Cape Cobra and been bitten. And then we can only watch for the symptoms. And very often they have no symptoms. And then we know it's a dry bite. Mm. But you're not going to know beforehand whether there was envenomation or not.
I think that's a great way to bring in Devine Sanson into the conversation here. She is a wrangler. She's a snake catcher. She's been very busy, she says, over the last few days. The difference between a dry bite and a real bite?
Me, sorry. you'll have symptoms with a real bite if the snake is going to envenomate you. Mm. Dry bites, as the lady said, you'll have to watch, and if you have no symptoms, then that is a dry bite. Mm. But for an example, if a Cape Cobra bites you, you need to get to hospital straight away.
Mm. I want to talk a little bit about your experiences and over the last few days and weeks. You say you've been very, very busy. Yes. But what would be some of the first symptoms people would experience, Karine, when they've been bitten by a venomous snake?
It depends. Is it a neurotoxic snake like the Cape Cobra or cytotoxic snake like the Puff Adder or Boom Slung? You know, they're different venoms.
What would be the most common here in the Western Cape, in Cape Town?
Okay, the most common would be definitely the Puff Adder. You know, there's a big difference between which is the most deadliest snake in South Africa and which snake are they responsible for most bites. So here, definitely the Puff Adder. But in the Western Cape, the Cape Cobra accounts for most human snake bite fatalities.
Karine Marks, thank you so much. I know you're very busy. She's a specialist in poison information and the director of the Tigerberg Poison Information Center. If you have a situation at home and it's more than just snake bites and hoka bites, also other poison information, 0861-555-777. But Devine Sanson, you told me just off air that you've been actually quite busy. You're seeing a correlation between what Corinne's been saying with responding to snake bite reports that have doubled, she says, over the last few months, simply because season is kicking into gear now.
Yes.
You've been quite busy. What have you been up to the last few days?
A lot of boom slung. Mm-hmm. A lot of boom slung along the west coast. Between, I'd say, Tableview and Melkbos Strand, a lot of boom slung, and in Parklands also showing up due to building. they've been chased out of their home, you know, the bushy area, the trees where they live in and things like that. Also, Cape cobras are picking up as well. Yeah, I found one in a complex in Big Bay by Checkers. And it was waiting nicely. It was wrapped around a little tree that was planted there. Yeah, so yes, definitely picking up. And more boomslang this year. Well, it's still early days, but more boomslang than Cape Cobra.
You're naming parts of the area of the world that I frequent on a daily basis, the parts of the world where I live. So my wife's not going to be too happy about this. But tell us a little bit your involvement in the industry. Like many industries, male dominated, not often that I encounter a female, a woman, snake wrangler. Just how long have you been involved? I see that you're so involved, you even have a little snake tattooed on your right wrist.
Yes, I do. It's going on for 5 years now. I have a passion for snakes. We need snakes to balance out the ecosystem. Yeah, what I do is I get a lot of calls from factories, houses, gardens, they're inside the houses at times, where they go look for shade or water, things like that. And then they call me and they ask me to come remove it. So I go and, yeah, I use my gear and I put them in. Once I've secured them, I put them in the bins. And then I go release them back into the nature reserves where they must be released back into.
What are some of the mistakes that people make when they discover a snake on their property? I would venture a guess that when I have visited family when I was a kid and we'd see a snake, we'd all shout, "Here's a snake!" And then all of a sudden we'd all come out and rush to look at the snake. That can't be a good idea.
A lot of the people don't. Once they see the snake, then they run away. So that's not good for me, being that the snake moves along. So the golden rule is to keep your eye on the snake at all times. And I'd say follow it at a safe distance, about 5 meters. If you come across a boomslang in a tree, try and stay outside. Don't phone me and say, "Oh, you've seen a boomslang half an hour ago," because it's not going to help. They keep on the move. Keep your eye on the snake and contact me.
Look, many of us can't tell the difference between a venomous and a non-venomous snake. We don't know the difference. Generally, many of us wouldn't tell the difference between a mole snake, a brown snake, or a boomslang. Is there a rule of thumb when people encounter a snake on a trail, on the path, walking their dog on a green open space?
I don't know. A lot of people can identify snakes. Yeah, they can. A lot of people know what a puffada looks like. A lot of people know there's a distinct thing about a Cape cobra. When it sees you, it'll stand up, it'll spread a hood, and it'll hiss at you. Boomslang are very shy and docile. They'd rather prefer to move away. But there are distinct markings, but you have to go and educate yourself about it.
Yeah. And I would say that I would be able to tell a boomslang by seeing that green, that lovely green sheen.
Yes.
On it.
And no, it's beautiful. A green belly with the black on top. They're very dull snakes because they got keeled scales. Where a Cape cobra is very shiny because it's got smooth scales.
We have a couple of voice notes and people want to share their snake experience. Let's have a listen there, Johannes.
Hi, Lester. I'm very fearful of snakes, but I must tell you my experience. I was in Houdini once and I just happened to see the shiny object in the road, and as approaching it closer, it obviously it was a snake, and I stopped at that point in front of the snake, looking out by my window, and you know, the snake lifted its head up and it was a cobra. Lester, it was the most beautiful sight. I still am a bit fearful of a snake, but that memory of that snake in my mind is so wonderful. I will never forget it.
They are beautiful. Eh? They are beautiful creatures. And you have a little friend here with us. She's in a basket, in a plastic box. Her name is Rosie. Rosie is a friendly snake, isn't she?
Yes, she is. She's my baby. She's a salmon boa constrictor. She's non-venomous. Mm. And she's a pet.
Boa constrictors, of course, not endemic to South Africa.
No.
We more have pythons. Yeah.
Yes, rock pythons.
Rock pythons, yeah, in this part of the world. But tell us, I want to know, where did you become enamored with snakes? Many of us are taught from an early age to stay away, whether it be for cultural or religious reasons, or maybe we were just indoctrinated by what snakes do, and they're all bad. Just how did you fall in love with snakes?
I don't even know if I should mention it, but I was almost bitten by a black mamba in Namibia when I was a teenager. And, just in time, it was killed behind me. I didn't see it.
What?
I got a big hiding because I wasn't supposed to be walking where I was. And I just got this fascination growing up in the dunes, watching the sidewinders, the vipers, and the zebras, spitting cobras, which you only find in Namibia. And I don't know, I just always had this fascination for reptiles. Mm. Always for reptiles. They just, main thing is they misunderstood. They don't want anything to do with you.
Gosh, I just turned my shoulders just to make some eye contact with Johannes, and his eyes are like saucers. He's trained on this box. He doesn't want this box to be opened at all. Is it, Johannes? In the meantime, let's play a quick voice note.
Good morning, Lester. In our warehouse for the past 2 or 3 weeks, we found about 6 snakes, about between a meter and half a meter long. What can we do to find out if there's a mother and a father there, and what can we do to, because we caught about 3 of them, we moved them out, or somebody caught them. What suggestion can they give us to us with regards to getting rid of these snakes in the warehouse? Thank you.
You were telling me now, Davin, about particularly being called out to factories and warehouse areas. There must be warm places. Particularly in factories and warehouses, there may be noisy places, but I'm sure there are quiet nooks.
Yeah.
About nesting pairs and nesting snakes, is that a situation that you sometimes deal with?
No. Snakes don't have mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters. Some snakes that you will find together will be, you can find them together, but that'll be through mating season. I got a call once for 3 Cape cobras. 2 males were in combat for the female, and she was peeping out the hole to see who's going to be the prince. And, yes, you can get them together. The size they're talking about, 0.5 meter to 1 meter, that's very odd. I need to know what type of snake it is. But snakes don't usually live together. So this, from September to April is mating season. So the snakes... there's been a lot of reports of puff adders on Lion's Head.
We just got a message saying of a puff adder. Puffers sighted on Lion's Head this week, says this message.
Yes. So they've sent in videos of males in combat, and they are in combat for a female. Mm. As she moves along in mating period, she gives off a female pheromone, which they sense, and then they will go into combat for her. And they will mate, and once they've mated, they move off. Mm. So a puff adder gives live birth. Mm. Cape cobra, a boom slung, lay eggs. Mm. So, okay, I'm going to jump to the Cape cobra now, for example. Once she's mated and they mated, move off, she will then, the eggs will develop in her belly. She will then find a nice suitable place where she knows the eggs will hatch, and she'll move off, she'll lay the eggs, then she moves off. Mm. That's her job done.
Yeah.
They don't have feelings whatsoever. And then after 62 days only do those eggs hatch. And then
how many baby snakes could differ from subspecies to subspecies.
Yeah.
But what is your average trait, for example, of a puff adder in terms of a nest?
Oh, they can have quite a few babies.
Is it?
Yes.
So let's talk about snake proofing. And here's a person who asks, if you live in an area that has snakes, how do you snake proof your house? Can you snake proof your house?
No.
Ah!
The only thing that you can do is keep your garden very clean.
Mm.
Short grass, no clutter lying around, building materials. It's all places where snakes like to go and hide. And yeah, they will lay eggs there. The main thing is to keep everything clean and tidy. Mm. So that if you do spot a snake, that you can call a snake handler to come and remove it.
This is your business. This is your job. It is also a public service. And someone is asking here, if I need to call a snake remover, how much to remove a snake? Are you doing this is your job. This is your career.
It's a hobby. It becomes a job in summer because you are busy constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Last season, I removed 78 snakes for the season.
Wow.
And so, yes, we do charge a call-out fee.
Mm.
Minimum is 250 rand. And the further you go, the more it is, obviously. We get to situations sometimes where we have to pack out 500 pieces of wood to get to a Cape Cobra. And then you have the lovely lady asking you if you can pack it back again. So, yes, I never say no to those type of things. I have to pack out garages as well. In order to find a snake, and then sometimes the snakes are not there.
Mm.
So, yes.
Do you sometimes spend hours, even day on site?
Yes.
Just looking. But how do you know if the snake hasn't slithered off somewhere else?
No, we do spot it. Oh. If it's spotted, then we do. Boomslang will take, I think, the longest time to get hold of, especially if they're in a bougainvillea or in a very high tree. Then you have to go up with a ladder. And they are very agile. The way they move through trees, they are absolutely magnificent.
So, Ed's calling from Kirstenhof. You have a question about boomslang, Ed? Good morning.
Yes, I was under the impression that boomslangs are back-fanged so that they're not actually dangerous if they bite you. Is that true or not?
Hi. They are rear-fanged, but it's a myth that they can't bite you. They can actually open their mouths 170 degrees.
Mm. Lester, this conversation is freaking me out. I live very close to that complex in Blauberg. Now I'm going to have to consider moving because I will die if I encounter a snake. The encounter with a field mouse in my flat was bad enough. I'm so sorry, Zuki. But our city is growing north. It's the Parkland, Sunningdale area that eventually the broader part of our city, or that part of the city, is going to connect with Atlantis, which falls in the boundaries of the city of Cape Town. But we're building that way.
We're encountering
humans and wild animals regularly now because of the development that arguably has to take place.
Yes.
Vivian?
Yes. No, we will. In Atlantis, they're building a new factory. And I removed a very big Cape Cobra there, but the earth-moving machinery had hurt it so badly that I had to humanely euthanize it myself, because snakes do feel pain. And, the building, it makes me very, very sad, because I have to remove that snake from its home.
Hi, Lester. Andre here. Will a dog scare a snake?
It depends on the snake. If the dog's going to get close, especially Cape Cobra, it's going to get bitten. There was a bite in the deep south a few weeks ago when two dogs took on a Cape Cobra. The one dog was bitten and it landed up at an amazing facility, I think in Kenilworth, if I'm right. And it was put on a ventilator, given 8 vials of polyvalent anti-venom, and she survived.
Well, Devin, if people want to get in touch with you, how do they get in contact with you, especially if you're on that side of of the world in the Blauberg Tableview Parklands area?
My telephone number is 072-809-8908.
Devine Sampson, she is a snake wrangler, snake catcher. I'll give out her number in a short while again. But Devine and Rosie, thank you so much for joining us here on The Morning Review.